And now, welcome to an episode of Only Funny to Us, a conversation amongst four friends who find things funny that others may not. Or may. Featuring Ben Quick, Stephen Crowley, Cliff Wilson, and TJ Lessier. So anyway, it's a random Ray story.
Yeah. No distractions this time.
It involves Christy. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to give first names and Jenny.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Remember he had
he had a huge crush on Jenny.
For Jenny.
Yeah.
So it was me, Ashley, Christy, Jenny, and Ray.
Right.
In the White Nada.
Oh yeah.
And we're going out to Witch's Tree.
Did we ever tell anybody that the White Nada and the Gray Nada were Ford Granadas?
I don't know. I think we
just called it the White Nada and the Gray Nada. Yeah. We didn't actually explain that they were Ford Granadas, but one just happened to be white and one was gray.
Exactly. And I missed that White Nada.
That was a nice car with the blue pleather interior.
Oh, that was beautiful. I mean, it was my
grandfather's nice.
Car,
I mean, it was in good shape.
And he kept it.
It was a little older. The Gray Nada was newer. Why are you laughing, you bastard? Dang it. Anyway, the Gray Nada was a little newer than the white one.
Right, but the white one was in better shape.
Well, yeah.
Much better shape. I love that car. So we decided we're going to go out to Witch's Tree. Now, you remember the White Nada road real low.
Yeah.
So there was only so far we could go. So we decided, all right, the five of us are going to hike. We're going to go see, because I've yet to see.
The tree.
I keep saying Witch's Tree. Bingham's Light is what I'm meaning.
Oh, you took Bingham's that. Oh,
that's
Bingham's
Light. I forgot
Light?
Y'all went to Bingham's Light.
Bingham's
that's right.
Light. Yeah, we only made it so far.
Light. Oh, yeah, you're not making it very far.
Especially not in the White Nada.
No. Yeah.
So we decided we're all going to walk. Well, Jenny's too afraid to go.
I remember I was there the night y'all. I think I saw y'all come walk up that night.
Either it was one way or the other.
I think.
But anyway, so Jenny's too afraid to go.
Yeah.
So Ray, the knight in shining armor, decides.
Oh yeah.
I'll stay back here with her
because I'm a man.
The problem
I'm
is
a damn man.
The problem is Christy had the hots.
Hots for Ray. That's right.
I'll stay too.
She had the hots for everybody.
What were you gonna do? Just wander off into the woods alone?
Ashley.
Oh, Ashley was with him. I got him here. Then I'm sorry.
So he and I were like, "We've come this far. We're going." And Ray was looking at me. Take her. Take her.
And
this
leave
is my
her.
Chance. This is my chance. And I'm like, yeah,
did he have any chance with
no!
Jenny? I didn't think so. Not sorry, Ray.
Jenny
sorry, buddy.
Zero interest in Ray.
We love you, but yeah.
I mean,
no chance, dude.
And we tell you because we love
right,
you.
Right, exactly. You had no shot.
But
you could have had Christy.
So anyway, so Ashley and I go down, and we went through this huge, I guess at some point they had gone through with tractors and backhoes and like dug big dips out of the road.
There was one hole that got so deep that Dave and some other fellas cut a path around it. And then it turned into a deep hole. You know, it just what happens is it just they're holes that turn into ruts that turn into deeper holes from big old trucks going through, and that's just.
Well, this one looked like it was purposely dug.
All do. That's just from trucks going down in there and spinning their wheels and crap is all that
so,
is.
So we get there and we kind of trudge along the side and all of a sudden we see a red light.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's it. We're finally going to see it. That's it. And then it turns white. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that's the way it goes, but all right. hey, I'm seeing something. And then we hear, hey, who's back there? Let's go get him.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't Bingham's Light.
No.
It was Bingham's Light Redneck Protectors.
Yeah, that's it.
And I was sitting here, brum, 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 brum. And here are Ashley and I thinking, it's time to go. So we haul ass running up to the car. We're running up in such a panic that all we can hear is Jenny and Christy screaming, thinking that something is coming after us. Even Ray was like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah, because wasn't nothing happening back there where he was.
Yeah, wasn't nothing happening back there. I felt so bad. That was the lock the door moment.
Yeah, it was. Crowley, you or Cliff got any random
Ray stories?
I do.
Okay.
I don't.
Ray's dad was a car dealer at one time in Ohio.
Oh.
And Ray was living here. His parents were back in Ohio. And his dad sent him all the paperwork and the keys to a 1980-something gold Celica.
Oh, yeah, the Celica. We drove that Celica to the beach.
And it had to be repossessed. from Atlanta. And so who was game to take him? Me. So I took him all the way to Atlanta, 5-hour drive, drove all the way to Atlanta. But on the way, I got a flat, didn't have enough money to get a spare, stopped by my grandparents' house in Columbia, borrowed $50 to go to Sears at the mall, in Columbia Mall, put a tire on my car, took the rest of the trip all the way to Conyers, Georgia, right outside. We find the guy's house, we find the Celica, and I'm thinking the whole time, okay, I hope this is a good enough car to drive all the way back. It wasn't. It had one snow tire the driver's side rear, I think, or passenger side
it
rear.
It was one of the ones on the rear,
looked like a tractor tire.
Yeah. It was like a light truck tire.
Yeah. Oh, it was a big squared off tire.
It was a Celica, looked a lot like Lori's, but it was gold.
It was quite a few years older than hers. Yeah.
It ran okay once we got it back. I mean,
The exhaust had rusted off. It was falling away. We had to put the temp tags on it, and I said, you've got the keys, just go get it.
Yeah.
No, man, I got to go tell the guy and serve him. Oh, that's a good thing. I'm going to park around the corner.
Yeah, see ya.
So I parked around the corner and said, I will wait.
Shot.
Yeah, so I'll wait for you because I'm not going to be seen over here. So he goes up to the guy's door, and the guy, oh, he was fine. I asked him later, how was the guy? How'd he react? Oh, he was all right with it. He knew we were going to come get it. Oh, okay. Getting papers, put the tag on it. We drove out. Oh, I'm hungry, man. I'm going to pull over here at this Taco Bell. We pull over to Taco Bell. 2 minutes from picking the car up. Blue lights. Bloop. What the? And he gets pulled over in the Taco Bell parking lot drive-through, I believe.
In the drive-through.
Yeah,
wait a second, I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm like picking up my food.
He might have pulled right out, and the cop was just right there. I was in a parking space waiting. He comes out. I came over later. I said, "What did the police?" Oh, they were just wondering why we had repossession tags from Ohio on a car in Georgia, and we're heading to South Carolina. I'm like, well, I would have wondered that as well.
Yeah.
And we get it all the way back. And I'm thinking, well, he's supposed to take this car and deliver it to his dad because his dad's going to repossess it. I think y'all drove it for like a year.
We had the repo tags. He drove that car to Ohio when he moved back.
Okay.
That was the car he drove back to Ohio.
That was it.
We drove it. It ran great on the way to the beach. It was pouring rain. I was driving because Ray said he couldn't see at night or something. I don't remember why he didn't want to drive. But I was zipping just in between cars and stuff. And he's over there going, oh, my God, covering his eyes. We're going to die. You're going to kill us. Ah. And I'm like, dude, you just can't see. It's fine. But, I mean, it was pouring rain that day.
Ray live with that year?
He lived with me.
Yeah. Little Ben.
Did he?
The whole time he was here when after his parents left, yeah. Mm-hmm.
On Cherokee Drive?
Yeah, on Cherokee.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And I don't know if his father was the car dealer or if his father was doing that as a for somebody who else who was car dealer that was friends of his or it was something like that. But he said he had a car he needed to repossess in Georgia, another one. And he was like, can you go with me to get it? And I was like, well, yeah, but how are we going to get there? He said, well, I got a couple of friends who I went to high school with, and they're coming back from North Carolina, and they're going to take us, and, you know, you're going to get the car, and you're going to drive it back, and I'll just go on down to Florida with them. Because, you know, he always talked about that Skylark he had in Florida and how he was going to go down there and get it and bring it back and this and that. So that was his plan. Well, cut to the end. When he comes back, he came back with the engine, a Buick 350 in the trunk of a car.
What?
He drove back from Florida with a 350 engine in the trunk of the car, and that thing sat on the picnic table next to my parents or next to my mom's house for a long time.
How do you put an engine in that? I mean, that's a good trunk space.
The bumper was dragging just about on the back. But anyway, so I'm like, okay, cool. I'll ride with you to get that car and I'll drive it back. Okay. Well, the girls get there, and we leave, you know, middle of the night or whatever, start heading to Georgia. We get to Georgia around noon the next day. So maybe it was early like 5, 6 in the morning. I don't remember what time it was. We get to Georgia around 11 o'clock noon the next day, get lost trying to find the town. Stop in Brunswick, ask for directions. We finally get directions to where it's supposed to be. We have the address. This is before the days of GPS.
Yeah, so you're just kind of
you have a map or you're going by the seat of your pants. Well, we were driving a brand new Chrysler convertible rental car the girls had. Of course, somewhere in Georgia it decides to overheat.
The rental car.
Steam just pouring out of the engine. I was like, oh, my God. It was a convertible, so they let the top down, of course. And back then, I was being a little bitch. I know I was. I was complaining like hell, because I would just rather be home, you know, because this was just so inconvenient to me. I didn't want to do this crap. And I'm thinking, God damn, why can't we just get this car? Well, we finally find out where the car is. We get there. Turns out when we get there, the motor in the car, it's a truck, not a car. The motor in the truck has blown. It's undrivable. And I'm thinking, are you shitting me? I got to go to Florida now? You know, I even thought about at some point, we stopped at a truck stop on the way. I was like, I ought to see if any of these truck drivers are heading back to Florence. I'll just catch a ride. So we end up going. The girls are going back to North Carolina the next week anyway. And they were super nice and super cool. And I'm telling you, I was just a bitch. I really was back then.
Well, I'm glad you could see that.
Oh, I can. I was an absolute pain in the ass, I'm sure. So they lived in Tampa. So we get to Tampa. The one girl says, y'all can just stay with me at my apartment. It's cool. You know, if I'd have known now what I, or if I'd have known then what I know now, things might, you know.
Might have been a different
situation. Because you wouldn't have been such a bitch. Well, I wouldn't have been such a bitch. And I found out that one of them kind of, you know, thought I was super cool. And, you know, shit. Anyway, the other girl let us drive her Camaro around Florida. They took us to Kmart, bought us clothes, because we didn't have any clothes or change of clothes. They bought us underwear, socks, shorts, shirts, bought us everything, fed us at their house. I'm telling you, they were super freaking cool. They were awesome. But I was a mama's boy. I really was, and I was just ready to get back home to my mama. I really was. Ended up staying down there for, I stayed 2 or 3 days. Ray stayed for a couple of weeks, I think. One of the girls' mothers lived in North Carolina. And she was going back, and she was the one who brought Ray back. But I took my grandmother wired me some money, and I bought a bus ticket. It took me 24 hours on a Greyhound bus to get from Tampa to Florence. And actually, well, just because of all, they so many stops, and just the bus took a weird route sometimes. And then the final bus I got on, I got on the wrong bus. They directed me to the wrong bus. It didn't stop in Florence. It went to Fayetteville, then turned around and came back to Florence.
Oh, my God.
And I remember being on the bus, and one of the rules, this driver's, all right, if you do this, I'll throw you off the bus. If you do this, I'll throw you. If I see you with alcohol, I will stop the bus on the side of the road and put you out right there. And I got to thinking, when I realized that bus was going to Fayetteville, I was like, I should just buy myself a beer. Crack it open right before we hit 52 and go, ooh, look here, and shake it up there. I'm drinking. Throw me off. Because I could have called somebody from then, but
yeah.
I ended up riding all the way to Fayetteville, waiting on the bus to turn around.
Dude, you've had much cooler had to come back to Florence. Than I have.
It probably wasn't cool at the time.
It wasn't. It sucked. It was hot as balls in Florida. I was miserable out of my mind.
That's a great story.
You know how I spent my time? I went down to the damn whatever the big grocery store was. You know, back then we didn't have 24-hour grocery stores here. Right. In Tampa, they had 24-hour grocery stores. I would take this girl's car, the other girl, both of them, they let us drive their cars. Didn't care. I'm telling you, dude, me now. Hell yes, I'd have been like, let's roll, you know.
We got stuff to do.
Wait a minute, and there's an interesting Ray story in there, because, you know, he hooked up with a lot of his buddies that he went to high school with and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the way I passed my time was I'd go to the grocery store and read Archie Double Digests, Archie Comics. I'd stand there and read them in the grocery store.
I'm going to reiterate what you said earlier.
I know. Well, for some reason, reading an Archie comic always cures my homesickness.
Really?
It's weird. I know it is, and I don't know why. But there was one of the nights we were first there, Ray's friend, what was his name? Antonio or Anthony or some Latin-looking fellow come over, and Ray's like, you want to go out with us? I was like, well, where are y'all going? We're going to steal hood ornaments off of cars.
Oh, fun.
Like, no, I don't think I'm going to go. I think I'll stay here. Yeah, I'm going to stay here. Yeah, apparently I was a real Southern gentleman, is what the one girl thought. And she kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I think we could go back to the.
It is what it is.
If I could go back and tell 18-year-old me.
Oh, son, I would say, look, you little. Well, I was 19. Look, you little bitch. You man up and you enjoy this trip. They're going to bring you back.
Just chill.
I was just so pissed because. I don't know.
You were taken out of your zone.
I was. I was absolutely out of my comfort zone. And I didn't know how to react, you know.
Some people get thrown that way.
Well, I'm like that. I have anxiety real bad around people I don't know, or situations where I'm just uncomfortable, you know, or large groups of people where I just. So, I think that was the start of it, you know.
Probably, I mean, it could have been. I remember I have a fear of being lost. I have a petrifying fear of being lost.
Really?
And it's all because of an incident at Sky City.
What is
Sky City? Oh, man. I remember Sky City when I lived in Barnwell. It was in Williston, South Carolina.
The Sky City in Florence is where the Big Lots used to be over there on.
Across from Irby, across from the movie theater and all.
Yeah, that big strip mall.
Yeah.
As you're looking
What was Sky City, though?
Sky City was basically a Big Lots.
Oh, okay.
It was a Big Lots, Kmart,
or whatever. And I'll never forget. Sky City was down on the left. In the middle was a Bilo. And at the far right, and this is going to bring back memories for all of you, was a Service Merchandise.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first credit cards I ever had. It was a Service Merchandise card. Yeah.
Those were great.
Bought my 3DO from Service Merchandise.
Did you really?
Oh, you're still paying for that thing, aren't you?
All should be, yeah.
It was like $600.
Well, who bought them out? It was...
who bought Service Merchandise? Yep,
Another popular. God, I'll have to look it up.
What was the one that competed with Sears and Roebuck?
Yeah,
they owned Electric Avenue and more.
Montgomery Ward. That was it. Because when I look at my credit report now, they're still saying where I had a Montgomery Ward credit card, and I was like, I never had a Montgomery, but it was Service Merchandise.
But I'll never forget. We all went. Me, Mom, Dad, Stephen, and Lori. Went to we were going on a little shopping trip, so I'm hanging out with Mom and Dad. Well, we all start at Service Merchandise,
right?
Stephen and Lori want to go down to Big Lots, and I don't know how old I was. I had to be 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that frame,
right?
So I'm staying with Mom and Dad at Service Merchandise. They were at the jewelry counter. Stephen and Lori have already gone down to Sky City down at the end of the way. I remember distinctly going. Tugging on Mom's sleeve and going, I'm going to the toy department. Can I go to the toy department? And I got one of those, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
So I'm thinking, hell yeah, free reign, I get to go to the toy department. So I'm over there looking around, you know, ready to go whine and complain, Mommy, get me this, Mommy, get me that. Go back, they're gone. So I start wondering, well, maybe they just wander. Maybe they're looking for me or whatever, and I was thinking at that age.
And how did you say you thought you were 7, 8?
6, 7, somewhere in that
area.
Okay,
yeah.
So look all over the store. Can't find them. Next thing I hear, boom, your Service Merchandise store will be closing in 5 minutes. Please make all your final purchases and bring them to the
front.
And I'm like, well, no, we can't close in 5 minutes. I don't have Mom and Dad. I am searching everywhere. In hysterics.
Yeah.
A guy, and if I could find this guy right now, even if he was in a nursing home, I'd punch him in the face.
Wow.
I get there and I'm like, I'm lost. My parents have left me. They were here and now they're gone.
Was this guy that worked there?
This guy that worked there was an employee. He's like, too bad. We close at 9 o'clock. You have to leave.
God!
Kicked my young ass out.
Oh, my God.
With no parents. Said, not my problem. We close at 9.
He had something lined up. He was ready to go do.
Yeah. But still.
He was ready to go to work.
Punch in the face.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably hold him.
I'm thinking, maybe they went to Bilo. So I run into Bilo, run through there, don't see him, go to the manager there, who if I could find him, I'd cook him a dinner.
Okay.
Just as nice as could be. And I said, and he said, well, you know, when was the last time we saw him? And, of course, I had no concept of time. I just knew it was closing time, and I had to get the hell out of Service Merchandise. So he said, well, here, come in here, use the phone, see if they've made it home. Again, I have no concept of time and how long it takes to get from Florence
to Hartsville.
To Shamrock Lane in Hartsville.
Right.
Calling, no one answering. It just ramps up my anxiety.
Well, at least you knew your phone number.
I knew my phone number. Still remember my... That home phone number. Can you do it?
I can.
No.
You can?
It was 383.
Nope.
No.
332-5838.
Bingo.
Oh, God. I was way off. I was thinking like 6-8.
And you were like 2-0-9-6, weren't you?
No, he was 2883.
2883. That's right.
332.
I remember Crowley's. I remember Anthony Thompson's. I remember.
Yeah, remember Anthony.
I think I remember Cliff's. Yours was. 6-8-8-9
I don't know.
That's the number. That was Sean's. I bet that was Sean's. 6-8-8-9
Had to have been Sean's.
Yeah.
So anyway, so no answer. So now I'm like, beyond. So this guy goes, I'll walk with you to Sky City. They're still open. Let's see if they're there. Super guy.
Yeah, because did you forget that Lori and Steven said they were going to Sky City? I mean, you were probably just traumatized.
Yeah, I at this point, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm cashed out. There's no helping me. But I remember we come out the store, look down the walkway, and they're the whole crew also in a panic.
Yeah,
not being able to find me.
Yeah.
So finally I see him, I run to him, and, all is right with the world. Guy turned around, saw everything. I mean, he saw everything was good.
Yeah,
no
went
one,
on back.
He never got a chance to thank him. Never got a
really?
Chance to do anything. Super guy.
I wonder if,
but what had happened was, you see what happened was, Mom and Dad were trying to get rid of me, and guilt washed over them.
What? They were trying to get rid of you and get one. That's bullcrap.
You'd have been in a if they really wanted to get rid of you, you would have been in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, right. You'd have been buried up your neck somewhere. Guilt washed over them.
They thought I said, I'm going to the toy department at Sky City with Steven.
Oh.
And then when they got down there, they were just. But to this day, if I begin to get a little lost,
that's. You start to get petrified. That's weird.
I've learned to handle it a little. Of course, GPS is save the world. But
my phobia comes from crowds, large numbers of people. Mainly, it's a fear of embarrassment. High school gave me that.
Because that's what I was going
to
ask.
Crowds don't bother me so much as long as I don't have to interact with the crowd.
Right. Yeah, right.
Crowds kind of bother me.
I can stand to the side. If I can stand to the side or stand behind it or be in control of something,
there you go.
Then I can deal
with
just
I'm okay with it. But if I'm in charge of that crowd or have to do something with that crowd,
mine comes from that.
I start getting a little agoraphobic around.
Like with you.
Going Christmas shopping.
High school did it to me.
Really?
I can't stand.
Oh yeah,
I can't stand malls during Christmas when
See, that's weird because it's because I'm the complete opposite of that.
Yep.
The larger the crowd, the absolute better.
No shit.
No kidding. I can't.
I mean,
hey everybody, my name's TJ. I'm an idiot.
Kind of
blah blah blah. Laugh at me.
You
know,
getting in your way, and you have to I go to a bar and it's really packed. It's like I have to get out. I have to leave.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, no, I have to push my way through a crowd. People don't move, and I start getting agitated.
That's why I go to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning.
About everything.
Why I go to Walmart at 2 in the morning.
People come out.
That's when the fun. That's when the freaks.
Well,
come out.
Well, I'm like Cliff. I like going to Walmart in the middle of the night because there's less.
There's
no hassle.
There's 12 people in the store and seven of them work there.
No, there's 12 people in the store and all of them are waiting in the line at the one register that's open.
Yep. Or they're standing there after the night of Valentine's Day asking everybody in the store, when is the candy going on half price?
That's right.
That'd be
Glenda.
Four people, and
she
none
wouldn't
of them
ask.
There.
She would. Glenda would just look. She'd go in. That's the first thing on the day after Christmas or the day after Valentine's. She goes in and looks at the half price candy, especially Valentine's. She gets those little message hearts.
The
chalk thing. She'll go straight. I mean, we walked into Walgreens.
They double as antacids.
We walked into Walgreens
Tums.
The day or two after Valentine's Day, and I'm looking at something. She says, "I got to go back here." She goes around the corner, comes back with two bags of those hearts. She went straight to the candy section to see if those things were on half price, and they were.
I'm trying to think of any other fears that I have other than that fear of getting lost. I mean, I have a petrifying fear of heights.
Clowns, other than clowns. But that's not really
they're just creepy?
That's probably not a fear. It's just,
they don't get to me. It doesn't get to me as much as it used to be. It used to.
Well, it's because it's a joke now with everybody. Yeah, everybody shows you clowns.
You guys have actually been therapy and posting everything.
Right.
Mine goes to the thing about being embarrassed because being picked on a lot in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, that fear of, oh my God, people, I'm going to have to stand up in front of a class and say something, and I'm going to forget what I'm going to say. And it happens now on this thing. I always forget how I want to state something.
That's why.
Right.
Make and notes.
I just don't talk as much as I used to.
There's a phobia that other people I don't have this phobia. Other people have that. I can't comprehend. I don't understand is why people have a phobia of spiders.
Yeah, it don't bother me really either.
No.
Not I really. I mean, now Rebecca, all. Rebecca,
it, I want a, I want a tarantula as a pet.
I mean, I told you about this.
I mean, it's not like if I see a black widow crawling across the floor, I'm going to go over and pick it up. You know, I mean, I'm going to stay the hell away from it. But at the same time, it's not like.
Yeah, well, I'll see little spiders, and sometimes I just squash them with my fingers, and people are like, oh, God, how do you do that?
I don't panic. I don't panic that big a deal. About it. You know, I mean, just stay away from them.
I told you about those Carolina wolf spiders that I had in my shop. Concrete floor, you could hear them. They're so big, you could hear them run across the floor.
How big are they?
Big enough that I shot them with a BB gun.
Great day.
I could shoot one with a BB gun.
I've never heard of that.
I've not.
You know what a silver dollar size is?
Yeah.
Or a 50 cent piece? Those big coins?
Yeah.
About that big.
Now, is that with leg span and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Way about.
I have seen those.
You know, every summer we have those garden spiders all around the house. But I don't bug them because they eat the insects around the house.
You mean the big banana?
Yeah, the banana spiders.
The big riding spiders?
I don't mess with those.
I leave
them alone. Oh, we had one. I've got a video of it. We had one on our back porch that you could go outside and stand, but if you would get close to the web, he would start doing his legs back and forth and make the whole web shake. He'd get pissed off.
Oh, wow.
And if you backed off from him, he would stop. It would calm down and go still again. It was crazy.
You know what I used to do with spider webs?
What?
I would catch moths.
Oh yeah, I've done that and throw them in there. I don't touch moths though. I don't.
Oh, you should see those.
Really?
Oh, you should see them.
I hate them.
You'll squash a spider in your fingers.
Why? Yeah. Well, but moths, they got those legs.
They move.
Do this.
They come after
and they got dust all over them. It's probably poisonous or something.
It's probably poisonous.
And I'm pretty sure the last moth I saw had fangs.
You see the big green ones we have, size of your hand.
Yeah.
I've seen those, dude. I've seen them.
I'm not afraid of those.
No. I don't like them landing on me. But
They'll get in your hair and your ears and your shirt.
I don't have hair.
And they can be anywhere in this room. They're going to focus on me and come right down at my face.
Now, I do not like wasps.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I can't stand
them. See, Will doesn't like bees. He freaks out.
I have dreams a lot.
God.
Swarms of wasps attacking
really?
Me. Or that I'm locked in an enclosed space and it'll turn out their wasp nests.
Have you ever seen that scene in Jackass when they do that?
No.
In one of the Jackass movies, they roll these guys up in a limousine. And it's for a photo shoot.
Oh, the bees.
Well, it was bees, yeah, wasn't wasps.
Lock the doors and lock them in there. And
honeybees don't bother me. It's wasps and hornets.
They dump stinging bees.
Into the limo.
Into the limo with them and locked them in there.
I don't know, but
honeybees are a bit different.
No, they're not. They sting.
Yeah, they sting.
Once. Wasps sting
They're not aggressive. They're not aggressive like wasps and hornets are.
My thing about bees at least serve a purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasps and hornets?
Wasps serve a purpose to kick your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
to
wasps,
sting the shit out of you.
Wasps interrupted a date that I had.
Really?
I had a hookup.
I had a whopper right? interrupt a hookup, but I had one time. I got cock blocked by a whopper.
By
a whopper?
A whopper from Burger King. It came back to visit and I had to go.
Oh, I thought it fell in your lap.
No, it didn't fall in my lap. I had eaten it several hours earlier.
And it just...
It decided to make a return visit and I was like, I got to go. Back to my mama's house I went.
This isn't going to work. I'm trying to think where my fear of heights comes from because when I was a kid, there wasn't a tree I wasn't skinny up.
You know what they say the fear of heights is?
What?
It's a fear of your own decision making. You're scared you're actually going to jump off.
That kind of makes sense.
That's what I've heard that.
I think it's evolutionary.
I think that actually kind of makes sense that you're sitting there thinking,
I might do. I might jump.
Oh, yeah. How easy would this be? Oh, God, no, I better not.
Just
take
two steps and I'm off.
I mean, we just talked about the platforms.
The platforms are up there. Way up there, and you and Crowley both off the top.
Water.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that, I think I was out there when Steve and you were jumping off those platforms.
You might have been.
I think I was there.
You might have been.
Because I vaguely remember Crowley climbing to the top, wanting to come down, and you were like, you can't really come down. You got to jump.
Yeah, you got
to. I was petrified.
Mm-hmm.
The only fear of heights I have is flying. And that's a small airplane.
I was so scared somebody was going to hit a knee, you know, a cypress knee. Yeah.
Well, my dad flew helicopters, so I've never had really an opportunity, but I'd jump in one of those in a heartbeat.
Have you ever flown a helicopter?
No.
Unfortunately,
I haven't.
I've never flown a helicopter.
It is awesome.
But little planes I've done twice, and I'm really not keen to do it again. It's just the fact that there's nothing underneath me.
Right.
If there was, I'm on ladders, I'm on top of buildings all the time. It used to be a lot for work. Towers, no big deal. You get me on an airplane that has no visible means of support other than a lot of good theories that have been proven, but they've been proven. That frightens me a little bit. Now, I got used to it the second time, but that first time, I wouldn't let go of the dash.
You know, and that's weird because with my fear of heights, this was, I guess it was about 2 years ago, Shaw Air Force Base was having an air show, one of their annual air shows.
Yeah.
And they had a media day. And they brought a bunch of the pilots in with their planes, and they would bring media personnel in, and they would take you on the plane and let you fly, you know, whatever plane they happen to have. And they had stunt jets. They had, the thing that I always hate in front of the name aircraft is the experimental.
Yeah.
Ask John Denver.
Exactly. Those stunt crafts.
Country roads.
They would do, you know, barrel
or
rolls.
Buddy
and
Holly.
So I'm looking at all these great planes. There was like what was the one that I absolutely wanted to get on, but someone else got on it,
and it crashed.
It was like a bomber, like a cargo from like a World War II
C-47.
No, it was like a
B-26 or a
something like. I think it was like it was a B-52.
Well, that's not small at all. It wasn't a B-52.
No, it had to be a B-52.
Couldn't land.
B-25. Maybe a B-25.
Yeah, they're small.
From World War II?
Yeah, they had two engines.
Yeah, that must have been it. But there were a bunch of other great
planes. Well, a C-47 only had one engine in the front, but it was just a big cargo plane.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. This was an old,
A C-47 is an old.
Like World War II?
Yeah, that's what they used to parachute out of, were C-47s.
Oh, okay.
I think it was C-47s.
DC-3 is what they called them in the civilian service.
But I see all these great planes that I have the opportunity that I would not be afraid of. Because, I mean, I've flown in big jets and whatever.
Yeah.
I get this little
Douglas C-47 Skytrain.
I get this little puddle jumper.
We used to fly those. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Okay.
We used to fly those in a game me and Cliff used to play.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Air Warrior.
That was cargo only. There was no gun, no armaments in them or something.
You can't see it from there.
Bring
the picture.
There's
a little
one
bit.
That flies like that.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a C-47.
That's usually parked at, there's one parked in Shiraz Airport like that all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a green one.
Yeah, they were paratrooper planes and cargo planes, and that's what it was.
So I didn't get that. I get in this little puddle jumper.
Two-seater. Low wing or high wing?
High wing.
No.
And the guy was super. The guy was
more
super
of the ground
nice.
That way.
You know, he was about 1,000 years old. Did nothing but fly. Loved But I mean, when you have to contort your body
to get into
the back seat, I was thinking,
oh no,
this.
What if you had to get out in a hurry? That's not happening.
And I asked him that. I was like, "What do you do if we have to get out in a hurry?" He's like, "Get out in a hurry." I mean, what do you expect me to say?
I figure the higher up you are, the more time you've got.
Yeah, really. So we get in and. You know, we're moving at half the speed of smell. And
Put the phablet down, Steve. Put it down. No, hold on. The dog's got a hold of something. Put it down. Put it down.
Why are you on the phablet, Steve?
Why are you doing, Steve?
This is why you don't contribute to the show, Steve.
Come on, Ringo.
This is why we're going to make you pay for things.
There you go. Good job. All right. Anyway, so you get into the back of this teeny sardine can plane.
Yeah, but what was cool, though, was I got to put the headphones on. And you're talking back and forth.
Oh,
and
you feel like you're a real pilot. Yeah. You're doing something, man.
Do you want to fly?
They said that.
Yeah. And
so
you went
to about, I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 feet. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm not freaking out too much. There's a little bit of apprehension, but I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, all right, stick in front of me. Why don't you go ahead and grab it? I was like, all right. And then it had foot pedals.
Rudder.
Right, rudders.
So, yeah. He's like, all right, he's like, you know, get a feel of it, see how it feels, and then he's like, how's it, you know, does it feel like you're flying? I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool. He goes, all right, throws his hands up, he goes, it's all you.
Oh,
and
no.
Went, no, it's got to be some you, He's like, no, just relax. He goes, I'm here if anything goes wrong. And I said, that's gonna. So he said, just do it. I was like, all right, I'm going to be a big boy. I'm going to try and do it. So I'm flying by holding the stick completely still.
you're just flying level.
He goes, man, do something. And he goes, all
right. What, like crash?
Yeah, really. Do a barrel roll.
He said, well, just, you know, pull up on him. We'll go up a little bit. Then we went down. And then the scariest part, he goes, make a turn.
Wow.
Oh, hell no.
Well, I mean, if you do it gentle enough, it should be okay.
I mean, and I did, and I started going, and all I could think about, it zapped into my brain. Every flight simulator that I've ever played, every time I would start the turn and then start nose.
Slide off.
And I'm like, I'm going to do that. And, you know, there's no reset here.
And, he's not going to be able to take over. And
yeah.
What if this old? What if I got there and he'd had like a heart attack because he was like 150 years old? And
he was old,
and then he'd have just
he was old.
Something I wanted you to you mentioned you talked about Steven earlier. Tell the where he decided your parents weren't going to drive the car anymore either.
Oh my God! which version?
Well, tell them both of them. I know it's more than one.
Okay, my brother Steven. Too intelligent for everybody's good. I got into a lot of trouble. That's why I got away with so much, because I'd always threaten them. Well, I could always just turn out like Steven.
Well, Steven, he turned out pretty good.
Oddly enough, Steven has turned out quite well with several degrees. He's a nurse practitioner, has written a chapter in a textbook about post-traumatic stress disorder. I imagine if my parents were alive, they probably would have wanted me to turn out more like Steven.
Yeah. Why can't you be more like your brother?
So anyway, they would punish him and take the car away. But he knew how to hotwire the car, because, again, he was just too intelligent. So there are two incidents. One, he was punished. Mom and Dad were going out of town, I think, for the weekend. I want to say they went away for a weekend to look at a timeshare.
Oh, yeah.
That was Dad's great thing. Because back then, they actually gave you a free present. And Lori, to this day, I think to this day, is still using the microwave that they gave them.
Wow.
Back in probably 1984.
Yeah.
This thing's last
forever. Yeah. Lori probably is still using that microwave.
So he was punished, and we had an old Volkswagen something or other. I can't remember what it was. And my dad decided he was going to take the keys, and then he was going to chain the car to the house. And he did. It had the handles that, you know, the old Volkswagen handles where you could go through, and then you push the button and opened up. Ran a chain
like
through
a rabbit
that.
Or a golf.
Like a rabbit. Probably a Beetle.
No, it was one of those weird design ones.
Like the VW thing or something. Type of those weird.
Almost like a thing. It was weirdish like that.
Gotcha.
So anyway, so he ran the chain through the door and then around the post of the carport.
Yeah.
Can't use the car. 5 minutes down the road, Steven's out there with bolt cutters. Cuts the chain, hot wires the car, and drives around for the weekend. Mom and Dad are coming back on Sunday. They get home. We're sitting around having dinner. Obviously, the car is not there. Nothing is said, but there is this incredible thickness in the air.
The tension was...
Shit's gonna happen soon.
Yeah.
So we're eating dinner, and how Dad lasted this long, I have no idea. But during dinner, just very casually, he looks at Steve and he goes, So, your mom and I were wondering where's the car? And my brother looked back and said, well, Dad, I was thinking about that. And I decided that since I can't use the car, well, neither can you. He had taken the car and driven it to a remote area at Sunoco in the parking lot.
And then walked back home.
And walked back home because we live so close. I never knew what happened at the end of that, because after that phrase was said,
TJ, go to your room.
It was, son, you got to go to your room.
Oh, man.
Now, the next one, this is why my dad never bought a new car. He always bought used cars. He only bought one new car in his entire life, and it was a Dodge Rambler. White.
Wow.
Blue interior.
That's what he picked.
That's what he picked. First new car ever. Another incident. Steven got in trouble. Mom and Dad were going out of town. Dad took it a step further this time and took the points off and decided, I'll have the points. he won't be able to start the car.
Right.
Again, Steven, being far too intelligent for everybody's good, used wire coat hangers and rigged it up to run. Starts it up and takes it out to whatever their version of the yard was, you know, back in 1970, whatever, 7, 8, 9, whatever. And he's showing off to his friends how he was able to pull this off. Keeps cranking it up. See, it cranks up like a dream. Cranks up like a dream. Engine catches on fire.
Oh, no.
I guess somehow gas was getting out or whatever and just coated the engine. Sparked because there's no cover with the point. Engine catches on fire. They probably could have just turned it off and maybe got it to go out, I mean, with minimal damage. But instead, my brother takes his brand new winter coat and tries to douse the flames out. And I guess from doing it, it started melting the polyester.
In the coat.
In the coat. And so when he went, kept on doing it, it kept on getting stuck until finally it got stuck to the motor. And
oh, my gosh.
So then they went to plan B, which was tossing handfuls of sand.
Mm-hmm. Into the carburetor and into the...
Right.
Oh.
Motor's done.
God almighty.
That is... And that car sat up in, I don't know, I'm trying to remember, it's up on 15, not 15.
Reese?
Fifth Street.
Oh,
back then it would have been
the old, there was an old garage that my dad used to go to all the time. Gandhi's Garage, Gandhi's Auto.
Where was that one at?
It was up near the Moose Lodge. Like, you pass the Moose Lodge.
Oh, yeah, it's still there.
Up on the, it's abandoned now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
But it sat back
there. I know what you're talking about.
For the longest
time. Wow.
And Dad used Gandhi all the time to get his car fixed, and he would always drive out to drive by that car.
I have another note here. The party at Sean's house where Crowley got super drunk... And passed out upstairs, and Sean was also a little bit inebriated, and this was the incident with Cliff where Sean was up there trying to. He's like, I, "Where's Steve?" And just all of a sudden, it's out of the blue. Where's Steve? I said, "He's around here. He's around here laying. You know, he's laying around or something." and Sean's like, "I know he's in my room. I know he's in my room. Where is he? I got to get him." So Sean takes off up the stairs. Boom, 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 stomps up the stairs, and he's trying to get into the bedroom. And I was trying to convince him that you, Steve, that you were in Chris's room.
Uh-huh.
Sean wasn't buying it. No, he's in my room. I know it. So he goes over there, and Cliff. By this time, Cliff's come up there with me. So he goes over to his door and he's trying to get in. So I grabbed him. I said, "Sean, now quit." Sean's like, "Leave me alone." He's trying to get away. So I just kind of picked him up and spun him around and boom, slammed him on the floor. Well, you know how Sean was when he would get toasted. He'd get a glass jaw. As soon as he hit the floor, gone, out like a light. So about this time, Cliff walks down the stairs, and I didn't realize what he had done at the time. But what he had done, he walked down there shaking his hand like, "Oh, man." And they were like, "Oh, my God, Cliff, did you hit him?" "Yeah, you know, I had to knock him on out, you know." And so I walked down the stairs, and I can't remember if it was Lisa or Christy or one of them said, "Oh, my God, did Cliff really knock Sean out?" And I was like, "Huh? No, I threw him on the floor. What are you talking about?" Cliff was trying to take all the but that was the one where you came over.
Yeah. I remember because it was the same night because you were passed out and
drunk
off my ass.
TJ walks in and he's like, "Steve."
Somebody took advantage.
Steve, and he's waking him up, and Steve, and he opens his eyes, he looks up and he goes, "David?"
Yep.
I thought it was David.
"Is that you?"
He was
David
dreaming about Dave.
Like David Prince would always come. Show
but
up.
TJ was walking around with his little trash bag. Even Glenda, we were talking about it the other day. Glenda said, she said, "Oh, yeah, I remember seeing TJ with trash bags at the party cleaning up."
I would always show up at the end and clean up the,
and clean up the mess, regardless of whose house it was. Yeah, you were a sad, lonely individual.
I was saving it so that the next party could happen. Did you do
it? Oh, dude, we had one over at Sean's house one time, and the house was full, slam full, and the phone rang. And the phone rang, and Chris was like, "Quiet, quiet, quiet," and the whole place, a hush. He was like, "Hello? Oh, hey, Mom. Yeah, I know, we're just sitting around, da-da-da-da-da," you know, just as cool as could be. And he hangs up. I mean, she knew nothing. I mean, there had to be 80 people in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have heard a pin drop.
And see, and I never had to go through those experiences because mom and dad were always... Because
your mom and dad were there.
Your mom, yeah, they were usually there in the, down in the bedroom or something.
I mean, had the laws that are in effect now been in effect back then...
Oh, yeah, they're... Oh. Yeah.
They'd still be
well, fine. They probably were, yeah, but they just weren't...
custody of you.
Yeah.
but they weren't really enforced that way, right, you know? Yeah.
I didn't have parties at my place because my parents did not allow it.
Yeah,
we had a few events
or a little get together.
I was always scared of the consequences.
But it was no more than four or five people.
No, and it was usually outside.
Yeah,
we could do outside stuff all we wanted to. But
oh yes, we got turned around at the door at your house a couple of times.
Oh yeah,
the couple
by security.
I remember that.
We used to wait for you while you weren't there.
Yeah.
I forget who it was.
We came over and someone who shall remain nameless stopped us at the door. Oh, no, you can't come in. What the fuck are you talking about?
And I was waiting for you guys to come.
Probably you were waiting for us to get there.
And I was in the house and then I think you told me about it the next day. I'm like,
mm-hmm. You're like, what?
What the hell is that about?
Yeah.
A couple of times, my parents went out of town. My brother would have get-togethers.
Yeah, we never had anything at your house.
I would just go and hang out all night.
And I didn't like having things. I didn't like having things in my house because I didn't like a whole lot of people over there.
It goes back to that.
I guess I just didn't like it.
I think it's with you is it takes you out your zone. You're comfortable.
It really does. I pulled a gun on a group of people one night and told them to get out.
What?
Oh yeah. I don't know if I can't remember if it was loaded or not. Probably not.
I don't remember.
But I just kind of waved it. So y'all got to get the F out of here. Ooh, and they all cleared out because they weren't listening to me before. I said, well, they listen to me now. I don't know. It was my stepfather's gun. I knew where it was. I'm pretty sure it was unloaded. But I just wanted to. I just held it up in the air like, y'all got to go.
You ain't got to go home.
And I never had another problem.
I bet not.
With people coming over.
Unless, going to his
except
house.
For people that I wanted to come over. You know?
Well, I remember that there was a night. Whenever can we use we use names? Well, BR.
Who was BR?
Security.
Oh yeah, that was security.
Whenever he lived over by the high school, remember that house he lived in by the high school for a little while? And he had a party one time? Well, that was
when we had the Agatha experience.
I thought that was at your house.
No, the Agatha experience was it.
Hold on,
his
you
house?
Can tell Agatha in just a minute. But I remember it was late in the morning. It was early in the morning, and me and a few other people got in the car and decided we're going to go get some more beer. At the time, that place out there on the way to Florence called Mike's, they sold alcohol to minors.
It was right there at the crossroads, right at 52.
Camperland? Oh, 52.
Not that fork. This was further down. It was a place called Mike's. It was
not 52, 151 and
it was a little white store.
Yeah.
Y'all tell me about it. I don't ever really remember
that. And the people had their house was on the back of it.
I think that's Flynn's Crossroads? Is that what that's called?
So stupid. We showed up at this place like 5 in the morning and we started knocking on the door. All of us were drunk. We started knocking on this door and then this guy answers the door with a shotgun in his hand. What the fuck you want?
Duh.
And we're like asking him if he would sell us some beer.
Oh my god.
Now this is the guy because I remember going there. I went there with Neil.
Yeah.
So
and
stupid.
I'm like freaking out because I would never go. I was always nervous about getting busted because I hadn't had an experience with the law. But Neil was like, it's cool. Just walk in with me and do what I do. He walks in and he grabs a 12-pack. Pops it up on the counter. And the guy can see that I'm like, I just want to be somewhere else. I don't want to be here. I'm going to go to jail. He looks at me and goes, don't worry about it. He said, I got a 2-liter of Pepsi up underneath here. If a cop walks in, I slide yours to the side and put the 2-liter up there, and I'll sell that to you. And then you just come back and get the beer later.
Now, wait a minute. Let's back up, because last podcast it was Mountain Dews.
Yep.
Oh, the story.
It was still a Pepsi product.
Okay, that's your Alzheimer's kicking in.
You're talking about.
You don't remember?
I'm glad Cliff remembered that too.
You say that now. Now there's some faint memory trying to come back.
All right,
refresh it.
It was the same night. And we're all at BR's house, right down from the high school.
Because I remember you guys had they had the band set up.
They had the band set up in the front room.
They played. When they were, I think when that was when they were, what were they, Faux pas. At that time.
Faux pas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they called themselves Faux pas.
We made a banner with spray paint and a bed sheet.
Yeah, I remember that because you and I were both going, Fox Paws.
Fox Paws. What's
Fox Paws? What's Fox Paws mean?
But anyway.
Well, that's how the majority of the people around here would have pronounced it. Fox Paws.
We probably need to save the Agatha story for the Halloween.
Okay.
Our Halloween. And the spinning crystal in your room that night.
Do you realize how far away Halloween is?
Yeah, well, I mean,
so you don't think we'll make it?
You think this will be all done by then?
Okay, well, no. I'm talking about that's just a long
time. We just need to put it on our whiteboard that we don't have yet.
Yeah, that we don't have yet.
Okay, well, Halloween then you can stories. Tell me the story after.
Okay, I'll tell you the story.
Because you've got to refresh my memory.
So anybody who's listening, stay tuned to Halloween, and you'll hear about Agatha and the spinning crystal.
But I do.
Crystal. What?
TJ remembers the spinning crystal.
But I vaguely remember it. You're gonna have to fill me.
All right.
But anyway, one more final wild party story, and then we'll bring this thing to a wrap. But we were at CW's house at a party.
CW.
I was going to say his first name. It whatever. Cal's house.
Oh yeah. Oh okay.
Parents were out of town. Huge party at his house.
Right.
Several things went down that night. I mean, that was one of those nights where just a series of just weird, kind of bad things happened.
Yeah.
The first and one of the last parties I ever took a girlfriend to.
Whoa.
Because.
That's probably a bad idea right there.
Well, and because.
Who was the girlfriend then?
First
name, yeah.
Why Megan.
Not? Okay, yeah.
So
see, I don't remember that time period really.
I think that was right before I
met you, yeah.
But anyway, I'll go ahead and spit it out. We had gone up there and she had brought a friend of hers and I was wandering around talking to everybody, drinking, and she disappeared.
Right.
And I was like, you know, whatever, she's mingling or whatever. I ended up walking my head at his parents' house. There was a kitchen with a little eat-in nook, and then there was right adjacent to the kitchen, separated by the wall, was a laundry room.
Right.
That had sliding door to go in and out of.
Okay.
Well, just by happenstance, I'm walking by, saw someone open up the door, and she's in there with like three guys making out with each one of them.
Oh.
And I catch it. But don't catch it. You know that, like, I don't think I just believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, 1,000% of, I don't want to believe what I just saw.
Wow.
So, it was like, shortly after that, I was like, now, we're out of here.
Now, you know what old Ben would have done?
Old Ben would have whipped some.
I'd have kicked the door down.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
You almost want to go back for me and kick the door in.
Well, no. There was a story where I almost kicked the door in on the trailer where Glenda was staying one time. I was a real, yeah.
I was like, you know, it's time to go. You know, got to get you home. It's late. Time to go.
I can't believe you just blew it off like that.
I didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
You know? And I used to have a horrible temper. That I had to do a lot to get under control, even at that age. I mean, mm-hmm. I can remember being a kid and getting into like a playground fight and getting
mad
so much that I would go overboard. But anyway, so I took her home, decided I was going to go back, and I was going to get hammered, which I proceeded to do.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the liquor cabinet and began to grab each bottle and turned it up. And then I would grab another one and turn it up.
Dang.
And I'd grab another one and turn it up. There must have been six or seven different ones. The two that sit out in my mind, actually the one, was gin.
Mm-hmm.
Straight gin, guzzled it, slammed it down, and it wasn't 10 minutes later, I'm yakking. Gin.
Oh, God.
See, now, juniper berries.
I mean, and it's bad going down. I mean, I've reacquired, you know, like the taste of it now as long as yeah. it's mixed. But, you know, it, in and then out, bad news. And then I remember there was another guy there. It was Steven something or other.
Now, where were you with all this liquor?
We were up at Cal's house.
Oh, you after you took her home, you I went back to Cal's. Back oh, okay.
There. Yeah. So,
see, I'd have been looking for them through the three dickheads that was in the room
they were
with
gone.
Her, with a ball bat and just
started pinging.
That night would have ended really bad for a few people.
Well, I thought it was going to end in murder.
Okay. Wow.
And I'll tell you why. I was hammered, and I ended up going up to the store with, if you remember, Dustin. And there was another guy that hung out with him.
And like Troy. Dustin and Troy. That's how you guys knew Dustin.
I know, but there was one other guy that was, because I wasn't with Troy.
I don't know.
It was Dustin and somebody else. But anyway,
I have no idea.
We ride up to Fast Fare to go get something.
Fast Fare.
Crap. There you go.
Oh, man.
We ride up to the Fast Fare to get like cigarettes and yeah. know, something to drink or whatever. And I remember just being
ill.
Blotto.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not nauseous anymore. I am done. And I'm using the basic core functions of my body
that's
just to make it through.
Your heart's beating and you're breathing, that's it.
Exactly. So we go in there and I had money because I think I was working at the radio station at the time, and I'm like, here, I'm buying everybody over there. Just pay it out of there. I don't care.
Wow.
Knocked over like a candy display. I mean, it was just, I was raunchy, bad.
Yeah.
We all get back in the car, and this guy had just been staring at us. This just some random dude. I mean, we hear three completely hammered underage kids coming in. They're
right. You
know, raising hell. He's just staring at us. So we're backing out. I'm in the back seat. I don't know why I'm laughing because this is a horrible story. And the guy is standing there out in the parking lot.
Because we're sick people.
And then I want to say it was Dustin. I want to say it was Dustin said to the other guy. It may have been Troy, but I can't remember. He goes, let's kill him.
Jesus.
And I was like, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, let's kill her. The dude who's driving backs the car up and aims it at him. And starts revving the engine. And I'm thinking, oh, they're just going, oh, y'all don't scare them. They're like, we're not going to scare them. We're going to kill them. We're going to pin him between the car and the post.
Oh, my gosh.
Good grief.
And I'm like, and all I can remember is,
I bet you sobered up quick.
No, there was no sobering up. But I do remember pleading with him, and it sounded just like this. Hey, man, don't kill that man. Please don't kill that man. Don't kill that man. They're like, all right, we won't kill him.
God.
And I was like, and I don't know if they were just
yeah, screwing messing with
the
you.
Uber drunk guy in the back.
Probably.
I mean, more than likely. But
you know, with me, it was never alcohol. It was sleep. Whenever I wouldn't get enough sleep, I would get ill as a hornet.
Mm.
Well, there was one night we had a party over at Brian Bain's house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Buddha.
That's the old way back. And there was a little girl there, a little blonde girl. And I had been awake for probably close to 48 hours.
That's unnecessary.
It was extremely unnecessary. And the longer I stayed awake, the more ill I got. And I remember sitting on the couch at Brian's, and she walks in, and she had taken Danny's hat. He had like a camouflage, kind of one of those Indiana Jones looking hats, but it was camouflage,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she took it, and she was standing there. I don't know why I'm laughing. And she was standing there, and she walks in the room, and she goes, look, I stole Rude's hat. And I remember thinking, who gives a fuck? And then I remember thinking, I'm going to get up off this couch, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to kill her. And I stood up off the couch, and all of a sudden I went, whoa, I need to leave. So I said my goodbyes.
Oh, my God.
Because I literally got up off the couch, and I was going to walk over there and choke the life out of her just because what she said made me so mad. That's insane.
It's getting late.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, and I've been awake for a while.
Let's get him home and get him to bed.
Well, that's the only time that ever happened. I don't know why. I was just so pissed.
I mean, after 48 hours, I'd be
thinking about
choking people out myself.
Well, I look back and laugh because it's just so ridiculous to think about it.
I got one quick one about a no sleep. Working in radio.
Could it be a happy one? Could it please be not murder
kinda
one?
Happy.
I've got some happy ones too, but that was the...
Back in 90-something, working for a radio station, driving a Bronco, doing engineering and remotes for the radio station. We killed... A transformer died at the beach stations, 97.7. Transformer in the transmitter burned, shorted, so we had to get another one to get the station back on the air. And I was the runner engineer
lackey guy. Yeah.
I had gotten up at 5 o'clock that morning to go into work to produce the morning show. As soon as I got done there, they said, all right, we need you to drive to Brunswick, Georgia.
Oh, my gosh.
Pick up the new transformer, take it to Myrtle Beach, and help the engineer put it in. So I got back to Myrtle Beach about midnight. Drove all the way. I've been up since 5. Got all the way down there. Drove all the way back. Mm. The next morning, I had a 6 a.m. remote for the morning show.
And which means you're there at 5:30.
So I didn't get back to Florence after putting in the transformer. We didn't get back to Florence until 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, golly.
So I went straight to the station, got the boombox, the big remote trailer, hauled it out to Toys R Us. It was around Christmas, I think. Hauled it all the way to Toys R Us. Did a remote for the other FM, for the FM morning show that morning. Because the Furby was on sale.
Oh, my God.
That's how long ago
oh
that's
been. Oh, my God,
been.
The Furby.
The Furby. It was the first Christmas they brought out the Furby.
Jesus.
I did that. Got done with that one at noon. And I have not slept. I haven't been home. I haven't changed clothes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Did that, you probably I did that kind just of like thing more than once. So I worked straight 36 hours.
And you sweat. You sweat a lot too, dude.
Oh,
so
yes.
You were probably, like a fresh rose.
Yeah. Man.
Right. Yeah.
So pretty much, you know, you're over your hours this week on Tuesday. No shit.
Yeah, probably smell like an onion.
Oh, yes. I smell like a bushel basket. I smell like a French person.
Like a French person? Holy God.
I smell like the country of.
French Embassy on line one, Cliff, is for you.
I think I might have bought a speed stick somewhere along the road and just wiped something. It all over me.
A speed stick. I took a little pine tree bath
and wiped it all over me.
Just wiped the little pine tree all over me. That was great.
And I think sometime during that night when we were trying to put the transmitter in is when I first realized what gallstones were, because I had a gallstone attack that night.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Good Lord!
That was about that time.
Did
nobody show up in
99?
That would
have been 98 sometime, I think.
Oh, my
that was a, God. That was a festival.
Do you, before you read it, do you remember the car Ray had, that Velari?
Vaguely.
The black Velari that he somehow or another got a dent in the quarter panel, the shape of a half of a telephone pole. I don't know how he managed to hit a telephone pole flush on the side of the car.
Did he spin it?
It must have spun into it. I don't know, but it was just a half moon.
The Velari.
And the stuff. We used to park it in your driveway right under the basketball goal, climb on the hood so we could dunk.
I do remember the Velari now. Yes.
I want to tell this one quick Ray story because it's been floating around for a couple weeks in my head. But remember Cindy, the deaf girl that drove the little orange car? Remember her?
Remember picking up her mom and moving it around the parking lot.
I got at that party that night, I got into the closet and I was going to scare her and Sean. When they walked in the room, well, Sean somehow, I guess Sean knew I was in there, and I'm trying to get out the closet. Her back was to me, and she's talking to Sean in that room. Sean's just sitting there, you know, he's drunk. He's laughing because I'm going, Sean, open the doors. They're stuck. I couldn't get out. And somehow he had locked them from the outside. I don't know. So I couldn't get out. And she finally, she's looking at him, and I could hear, what are you looking at? Because I mean, that's the way she talked. And he was laughing, ha ha, and he points at the closet. And she turns around and sees the door shaking. And she unlocks me, opens it up, and there I am in there. Oh, she got on me. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I was going to scare you. That was the one who Sean would be making out with her in the back seat of my car. And she'd have to cut her hearing aid off. Because when they'd get close, it would go, wee.
I have the most politically incorrect thing in the world to say about her that I have to say. Somebody I know we've mentioned in this previous podcast, somebody said, oh, yeah, you want to hear the funniest sound in the world? Have sex with the best girl. He said she makes the funniest sound when she has an orgasm.
Oh, God. Yeah, oh, my God.
I know what you're talking about. And he imitated it, and I couldn't. I can't do that.
Blue was in the front. Neil Blue was riding me in the front seat of the Buick, and Shaw was in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And Shaw's basically, while he's making out with her, just giving us a play-by-play. Because she had to cut her hearing aid off, so she was completely deaf. So she didn't know he was even saying anything.
Oh my God.
Oh, she, you know, her blue jeans are too tight. And, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, my God, Jesus. And Blue's going, this is wild, man. This is wild. This is too wild.
Remember the night we took him over to Memory's house to get his stuff?
Yep, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we ended up waiting for quite a while. And we walked around the front of the house.
Anyway, back to the deaf girl.
Got an eyeful.
Anyway, back to the deaf girl story.
Oh, they were doing it.
Jesus Christ, Crowley.
I think I went too far. You just went ahead on.
Yeah. Cliff went too far. You just kept your foot on the gas.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're sitting at the Sonic. You know how back then Sonic was one lane getting out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
man.
Me and Ray had just got, you know, the satisfaction of going to Sonic and getting a large iced tea.
Oh, yeah.
And they were huge. And they were full of ice and full of tea.
That's a large iced tea.
You can shut the hell up anytime, ice. Red microphone. Anyway, so we're in the Volare, and I'm holding my tea in my lap. Ray's driving. Well, Cindy's in front of us, and she can't get out. She can't. I think she's trying to go left, and the traffic's left. Ray wants to go. No, you should never do that. People, if you're listening, never take a freaking left out of Sonic. Never.
Hook the block.
Just take a right, go around the block, get out of everybody's way. So that's free advice. Take it and take it. But so anyway, Ray's getting impatient behind her. And for some reason, he pulls up next to her at the curb, sets his tee on the dash. To this day, no idea why he did that. I'm holding mine securely in my two hands. He floors it to get out of the parking lot. His tee levitates off the dash. I look at it. I watch it go flying in between us, over the front seat and into the back seat, and explode. Bloosh everywhere in the back seat of that Volare. And he's cussing and swerving and hitting the brakes because he's all over the road now.
That was not intelligent at all.
God damn it, that's my tee, my tee. And he's trying to reach back there.
Trying to reach back for what?
Maybe he's hoping he can salvage some in his hand. I don't know what he's looking for. And so he finally pulls over, and he's cussing and fussing. He gets it all cleaned up. And he gets back in the car, and he shuts the door, and he's just kind of sitting there. And, of course, he looks up at me, and I'm holding my tea, and I go... and just looked at him, and he looked at me and just went, I hate you. Why would you put a large tee on the dash of a car and then floor it?
I mean, you can't even put cassette tapes up there.
No.
I mean,
and
clearly was not thinking.
Not at all. He just wanted to get around that Cindy who was taking too long to take a left out of the Sonic.
Could you not hear the traffic?
Nice. TJ, PC, please.
No horn. No horn.
It's for you.
That's right. No horn.
Y'all should see if she's on Facebook.
I don't remember her last name.
Me neither.
What am I going to type in? Cindy the Deaf Girl on Facebook? You stupid son of a bitch.
Cindy the Deaf Girl. That
she was
Sean
from Pine Ridge. Yeah. That's all I can remember.
Hold on, Crowley. Let me do that right now on the podcast. I'll type in Cindy the Deaf Girl. Okay, hold on.
You're going to get a circus act or something. You're going to get a circus act.
Right, here's my search bar. C-I-N-D-Y.
It was C-Y-N-D-I.
Deaf. Was it
I don't know. I remember she had that little tiny mouth.
Shut up, I can't type. Fucker. Deaf girl.
He's already threatened to kill in his own mind, so
well,
be careful.
Oh, man.
Up there.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
Hold on. Oh, damn it.
No, but it seems like...
That can't be her. Is that her?
God, just
no, this chick's from New Brunswick.
No.
But it's Cynthia Boyd, who went to the Amherst School for the Deaf.
No.
Maybe so that was her.
We apologize for Cynthia Boyd.
But it just said, okay,
mentioning her name.
One thing that's apparent.
Jesus Christ, did I really just type in Cindy the deaf girl and find her?
We've all had, and it sounds like we've all had more than one, just those nights where, for some reason or another, we were able to just stay out all night. And it was like,
oh yeah,
oh man,
we stayed out all night one night on the phone. We went to the Mayor's Temple. It was me, Randy, Ray, and Lee Waldron.
Oh Jesus!
We drank a whole case of the Bush Light, and we ended up the next morning. It's like Sunday morning at like 6:30 or 7 at Lake Robinson at one of the landings up there. I can't remember what the names of the landings were, with Ray and Randy and Lee in their underwear running out into the lake, into the water. I was like, dudes, I'm staying up here in the car. I'm not, you know.
I hope it was summer.
No, thanks. Yeah. No, Crowley, it was December the 18th, and it was snowing, you stupid. Stupid. You're such a damn idiot.
He's going home.
I hope it was summer. Why do you give a shit if it was summer or not? Such an idiot.
Summer.
Hope it was summer, y'all.
Y'all right, some punch drunk motherfuckers.
I know it. Cool, I mean, here's another one. No, that's not her. This chick's black. That's definitely not her.
No, that's not her.
Cynthia Alindi Namwaya.
I'm going to say that's a no.
She did just disappear, though.
Her, but honest to God, I wonder if this is her.
I do remember when we used to pick her car up and move it.
Wonder if she's
and
got
she freaked out. Her car was a little tiny Mazda hatchback.
Okay, it was an orange one. It was a lot like Jason Deaver's car.
Yeah, it was a Mazda, it was a little orange one, and we used to pick up the back end and walk it to the other end of the parking lot and just set it down. And she'd come back from a ride with somebody and not know where her car was. And that's also funny to hear.
All right, don't.
That can't be her.
I'm sorry. But it's, you know.
Are you serious?
Back then it was funny.
Well, I mean, you type in Cindy the deaf girl and somebody pops up. You have to investigate now.
Put in Pine Ridge.
Well, no, this.
She was from Pine Ridge.
Somebody's invited me to like their new. What the hell is this?
All right.
Only Funny to Them podcast. What the fuck?
Well, this is. As we conclude our podcast for this lovely week,
I don't want to stop.
This one's going good.
This is good, man. Way to go, mood killer. Way to go, mood killer.
It's only 2
we can make 2 shows out of this.
It's only 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah.
All right, well, don't forget to find us on onlyfunnytous.com, facebook.com/onlyfunnytous, and on Twitter @OFTUpodcast, also on iTunes. So until next time, this is TJ.
Ben.
Cliff.
And Steve. See, I said it normal. You fucking
thank God.
Not really. So,
do you have a song for us, Crony?
Yes, I have a song.
All right.
You ready?
I reckon.
No. The answer to that is no.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's no taking and no giving.
Why?
Something way, but the boss won't seem to let me. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5.
In it.
Good night.
That's it. You stop like that.